question isn't, is God blessing? I think the better question to ask is, what is God blessing?
When the country is in chaos, everybody has a plan to fix it. But it takes a leader of real understanding to straighten things out.
And you have to decide, does the congregation exist for service, or does it exist to serve us?
Broadcasting from the studios of Vidalia Communications Corporation in Vidalia, Georgia, it's time for Leadership on Purpose with DVA Director of Missions, Reverend Robbie Smith. A time to reflect and learn creative ways to reach our communities for Christ while enjoying a vibrant relationship with our Savior. And now here's your host, Reverend Robbie Smith.
Hey, folks, so glad to have you back with us, and nice to have Chester with us. And God's doing some wonderful things in our association, and I trust things are going great in your church as well. We're doing a lot of different podcasts, and Chester, I think you yesterday had the opportunity to meet with Dr. Tim Searcy of Bruton Parker College. How'd that go?
That was great. I did. He and I talked, and we'll actually feature that interview, about a 25-minute conversation, in next month's podcast. It's important because I tell you what was so amazing. Sitting in that associational meeting, in the executive meeting, and listening to what he had to say, as I listened, I thought to myself, there's so many of our churches that don't know anything except what they've heard on the radio or in, you know, at the water cooler, if you want to call it that, you know, at Sunday morning or maybe even in Sunday school, about Bruton Parker. And so I had a chance to sit down with him and ask him some of the hard questions about what they've been through and where they're going and why your students, your children, should attend Bruton Parker, or even why you should attend Bruton Parker. So we did. We had a good opportunity. That was just one of the many things that happened in our executive meeting last night. But also, you guys gave a report, and you have a lot going on. Tell us some of the things that are going on in the association that the listeners can get a hold of and be a part of.
Yeah, big news. We've got a new ministry trailer in the John Jacks Trailer Park in Wheeler County. Bruton Parker College donated this trailer to us so we could plant a church there in that community. And we're doing some minor repair to it. And God's just going to use that in a mighty way to reach that community for Him. Our church planters for that are Jake Hightower and Joey Davis. And they've got a team of about 8 other people involved in that. And so they're seeing people come to know Christ, seeing lives change. So we give God all the glory for that. Also, Chester, we've been given an open door at the Alamo Prison. A lot of people may not know that that is the largest prison in the state of Georgia. It's larger than the Reidsville Prison, with over 3,000 inmates. And they've asked us to come and begin doing ministry there. And we're going to start a school of leadership development there in October. And we'll have different courses going through. And we've also got an opportunity for Sunday school classes or men that would like to go and lead Bible studies there in one of the dorms. So if they're interested in that, they just need to give me a call at our DBA offices.
Give them that number.
And that is 912-583-2713. 912-583-2713. And then also coming up immediately on Monday, September 24th, we have our Daniel Baptist Association's Night of Discipleship. It's going to be at First Baptist Vidalia. It begins at 6:30, where choir is going to sing. And then Dr. Larry Wynn, who's now with the Georgia Baptist Convention, will be there to talk about strategic discipleship. And we're going to have pastors. He's going to meet with the pastors following his message, trying to help them on helping their church to be strategic in their discipleship. Also, we've got Alan Folsom coming to talk to adults about making and equipping adult disciples. And Scott Kendig, one of the greatest youth leaders in the state of Georgia, is coming to our association, going to be teaching of making and equipping youth disciples. And finally, Maria Brannon, who's been with us numerous times, is coming to share with how to equip children in the area of discipleship.
Am I the only male children's pastor in the associate in the convention?
Well, no, actually,
I hear women all the time.
You are one of the few, but we also have Mitch Bellflower. First Lions.
Yeah, just met with him.
But he does a great job as well.
So Mitch and I basically need to start a club.
Yeah, I'm telling you, a club of two for the state of Georgia. But God's doing some great things.
Well, let's talk about that. Discipleship is so important. Why are you doing that? Why is the association? I say you. Why is the association having all these folks here, and why should these listeners be here at this?
Well, the Bible tells us that we're to go and make disciples. And in the Scripture, we like to say teaching them to observe all things. Well, the Scripture, if you look at that translation, the actual translation is teaching them to
obey.
Obey.
Right.
Yeah. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be what?
Happy
in Jesus.
I went on something else there. But what do you say to the person who says, yeah, but I go to church every Sunday?
Yeah, well, you know, if we stay stagnant in our Christian life, we never grow. And then we never reap the benefits and the rewards of being obedient to the Lord. Lord wants us to grow. And so that we'll know more, but so that we'll be more, so that we will do more be faithful to Him.
But isn't that the pastor's job to make disciples?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people might think.
Okay.
But truth be known, that is pastor's job, but it's also each of us. Because I believe in that scripture, it doesn't say pastors should be disciple makers. It says that all Christians should be disciple makers.
That's right. And I'd say all that in jest, as you know, but that is an attitude of many. And it's just, we need to put the old things, you know, the old things have died. I don't know if anybody read that part, but, you know, we need to be a new creation, and part of that is obeying and going and making disciples. But this is a great opportunity, as you said, and we'll get off of it, whether you're looking at a strategic side of discipleship, how to actually be strategic in making disciples, or equipping adults, youth, and children, all of it, regardless of whether you're the only two males in the country working in children's ministry, or whether you are a youth pastor or a senior pastor or a discipleship pastor or, ready? Lula Bell sitting in the third row that needs to tell somebody about Jesus to lead them to Christ and thus make a disciple through the teaching and the ordinances.
That's right. We all need to be obedient to the Lord and learn more about Him and obedient with what He teaches us.
I'll say this and we'll get off of it, I promise. And this may be old hat to some folks, but I just recently heard someone say today, they were quoting the Cheshire Cat out of Alice in Wonderland. And basically what they were saying, and I'm not saying that he says this exactly, but basically what they said was that if you don't have a plan or if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And that's important because sometimes we enter into our churches and our church life, if you will, without much of a plan. And this will be an opportunity for you to get that plan.
That's right. We'll teach you how to do it. And then through the information that we give you, the Lord will speak to you separately, because every church is different. So you'll learn. The Lord will show you through some of the things you learn here what you could be doing in your own church.
Okay, so those are just some of the things going on in the Daniel Baptist Association. Of course, if you've downloaded this podcast and they've already happened, we've got more things coming up. So just stay to dbachurches.com or call the association. The number again,
583-2713.
See, in my phone it says DBA, so I don't really, you know, I don't have to memorize that thing. All right, so today we're talking about how leaders can support Sunday school, right?
Right. We're going to talk about, over the next several months, we're going to talk about the seven essentials for growing your church and growing your ministry through Sunday school. And today we're going to hit the very first one. And the very first one is 10 ways a pastor can support Sunday school. You've got to have the support of your senior pastor and your leadership. Okay? I love what Josh Hunt says. He says, nothing is important until the pastor says it's important. Mm. The pastor's passion for Sunday school is a strong predictor of the health of Sunday school. Mm. If the pastor doesn't like it, the people aren't going to like it. If the leadership in the church doesn't like it, the people aren't going to think it's important. So the pastor, what can the pastor do to help grow Sunday school and motivate its leaders, the church's leaders, to reach the community by using Sunday school?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the statistics show that most of the pastors, and this is in general, not in our association, but most pastors admit that Sunday school is not important to them, right?
Yeah, about 78% of pastors in the state of Georgia said that Sunday school is not important. Let me also say that most churches are at a state of plateau or they're declining. But yet, 22% of pastors say that Sunday school is important. And those are the churches that are going to be revitalized and that will begin to grow. And one of the first things that they could do, a pastor can do, is encourage the people to attend. Say it from the pulpit, from the pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I love what Johnny Hunt, he's a pastor of Chester, of First Baptist Woodstock.
Yes, I know who Johnny Hunt is.
Yeah, a huge church, as you know.
Right.
And matter of fact, when he first started, they had 100 people in coming to church, and the building was in such disrepair that they put trash cans in the pews when it rained to collect the water.
Wow.
And now they're in a sanctuary that's large enough to put every resident in Vidalia in their worship center.
It's a nice place.
It's big it's a nice place. But it's not because he was such a great guy.
Right.
God did it and God grew it. But Johnny Hunt, what he said, he told his people on a Sunday morning with a crowd of over 10,000 people, he said, listen, if y'all were only going to come and spend 1 hour at church on Sunday, I would prefer you not to do it in worship time, but do it through in Sunday school, because it's going to impact your life in a greater way than you hear me preach for 40 minutes. Now, that's a big deal coming from one of the strongest pastors in our country.
But now that's also shows his level of humility. And for a pastor to say that, they really got to believe it's not about them. And you know from being in music ministry for a long time and being up in front of people, and I know from being a pastor and being up in front of people, that sometimes Satan can use that glory that should go to God to sometimes build us up in a prideful manner. We really need to check ourselves, because if I can't stand in front of the church, or you can't stand in front of the church, or the pastors listening can't stand in front of the church and say that statement because they're afraid that people won't come to the 11 o'clock service, I mean, let's be honest. Something's wrong there.
Yeah, and they need to investigate their motives and ask the Lord, because it's all about what the Lord would have us do. And He wants us to make a difference in the community. And we are to encourage our people, and to what does Ephesians say? It says equip them for the work of the ministry. Mm-hmm. As leaders, as spiritual leaders, we're to do that with the flocks that God's given us.
I almost said that earlier when you talked about the discipleship night, the night of discipleship, and I was joking that pastors were the only ones to go. The truth is, pastors are the equippers of those who are going to make disciples. Doesn't mean we don't have that role too, but we're the equippers,
and
which is what you just said, which is what Paul said long before you. but it's absolutely absolutely accurate. So you encourage people to attend, and you tell them, I encourage pastors to be bold and say, if you give them that pass, maybe not a pass, but give it that to them. Give them that option. Tell them, come in on Sunday morning to Sunday school if that's the only hour you're going to come this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah. Well, and the second thing they could do would be to drop in the class and pay a visit.
Mm-hmm.
Let the pastor walk through the halls and drop in on a class and thank them for being there.
Pastors have to teach a class. That's in the Bible somewhere.
Some pastors do that, and that is great. But if they're not teaching a class, they need to go around from time to time just thanking the teachers, letting the class see that it's important what they're doing.
Now, I didn't say pastors can. I said pastors have to. They have to. The difference here is some pastors choose or have been given the gift of teaching and choose to teach, and that's okay, like you said. But my joke is pastors don't have to teach a Sunday school class. This is an opportunity. I was told one time, I probably shouldn't even say it, but I was told one time that it was expected of me to teach a class as a pastor. And I said, why? And they said, because this individual told me, because some of the youth saw me not in a Sunday school class and said, well, why doesn't the pastor have to be there?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I mean, not going to tell you my response, but I've been forgiven. But the truth is, what a great way. It's like a principal in a school going around and getting down on the level of those students and those teachers and coming in and saying, I care about this class.
Right.
You know, Lulabelle, I care about your class. I love that name, by the way. Well, that's my name I'm using all the time.
That is good. Yes, that was the name of my grandmother, Lulabelle.
What was her last name?
Lulabelle Smith.
So she was on your paternal side.
Well, Lulabelle Hall when she was growing up.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so she married in. Okay.
Yeah, she grew up, actually, here in Vidalia.
Lulabelle Hall.
Yeah, so pretty cool.
I think I went to school with her.
Yeah. The next thing that we want to remind folks, attend fellowships and events sponsored by classes or departments. Yes, it takes extra effort on the pastor's part. I understand, but boy, it makes such a big difference. Number four, preach a series of messages on the importance of Bible study, relationships, and the Sunday school ministry. And what you could do at the end, this is cool now, at the end of the message, have everybody pull a registration card out of the front of the pew or under the seat and have them enroll in a Sunday school class or a Bible study class. And Chester, I'd have everybody do it. Not just the folks who are not members of Sunday school. Have everybody re-enroll, which is fine, so that the guests don't feel awkward filling out a class. It's the coolest thing. So, some of our most successful Sunday school ministries and some of the largest churches do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have told me that it makes such a big impact in their church.
Yeah. Yeah, we do that with our connection cards. When the pastor asks folks to fill out the connection cards, it's nothing for you to be sitting next to somebody who's just filling it out to positively impact your positive peer pressure, make you feel not uncomfortable because you're filling it out. Because otherwise, some people sit there and think, well, someone's going to look at me if I fill this out. Yeah. I'm just reiterating what you say, but
but it's
definitely a good idea. So then what do we do? How can we get the word out about the positive impact that's coming up?
That's great, Chester. The next thing could be interviewing people during a sermon about how Sunday school's made a positive impact on their family. Right there in the message. Coolest thing, you put a stool by the pulpit, and they come and sit with you, and you sit on a stool, they sit on a stool, and hold the microphone. I recommend you hold the microphone and just do an interview back and forth, asking how Sunday school has impacted their life.
Well, who are some people that we could bring up on stage? What are different groups that we could reach to make sure we cover the whole spectrum?
I would bring up senior adults. I'd bring up children. Sometimes maybe have the pastor's wife or a children's Sunday school leader come interview one of the children. Interview a teacher. You could interview youth are so important. That's great. Men, women, boys, girls, anybody that has been impacted, especially a new convert. Someone who just recently accepted Christ. What a great time to celebrate.
Right.
And that encourages the person in their walk with Jesus, encourages that Sunday school teacher, encourages that Sunday school director. And boy, when you do that, it encourages the pastor, doesn't it?
Well, some churches are doing the right thing as far as their training. That's tough sometimes. Annual training is tough. Even a couple times a year, that becomes hard in some churches. And so I realize that I say that, and some teachers are like, oh, I don't need training, and some are like, oh, we've never done that before. But the right thing and the beneficial thing is to teach and train your leaders. Could your pastor be involved in that in such a way that, whether he speaks or whether he's just present, that impacts Sunday school as a whole?
It does. If a pastor will show up, whether he is the featured teacher for that or whether he's just going as an encouragement, he may know all this stuff. He may have taught it, but to be there to show his people that it's important. Because when a lot of teachers will say just what you said, well, I've done this for 20 years and I know it all. I've taught Sunday school. And when the pastor shows up to be taught, that sort of changes the picture of that.
Right.
You know, I still go to training. I've got a master's degree. I've been in ministry over 30 years, and I still go to training because it keeps me fresh, gives me new ideas, and I may never use those ideas. But God speaks through those ideas to show me something new.
But now this stuff costs money, okay? And And if you're not, if you don't have buy-in from your financial team or your financial committee and your staff, if you don't have buy-in for this, you're gonna hit your head against a financial ceiling. So how can the pastor affect the finance team in such a way?
Yeah, first of all, you don't have to have finances for training, for instance. You know, you could ask your associational missionary. I could come and do the training. Your pastor can do the training. There's no excuse for not having training. Chester, I know you would come and offer training if asked.
Sure, sure.
So, but I
charge.
Yeah, you don't.
No.
But what about literature? If you have literature, you know, in special events, I understand the need for a budget. I can take a budget, Chester, and I can look at it. And I can tell you where that church's heart is.
Mm-hmm.
It's where they put their money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
You know, and I can tell you in your own personal finances where you put your money is where your heart is.
So your pastor could have a leader in his leadership role, could have one that he gets in more involved with the finance committee and says, look, next year we need a fund for literature. Or budget rather, for literature. We need to be prepared for this. I mean, that would be a way that we could get the pastor involved.
Absolutely. Keep Sunday school at the top of importance in your church, because it should be. If it's not, it should be the number one outreach tool for your church.
Mm-hmm.
It should be your number one evangelistic tool.
Mm-hmm.
So making that, when the pastor says it's important, the people have a tendency to believe it's important.
You know something that you just said, and I don't think I'll get in trouble for this, but you just said that it should be your number one evangelistic approach, or it could be, and should be. A lot of churches, and ours is one of them, has an evangelism budget and a Sunday school budget, you know, for curriculum. Why not combine those two? I don't know. Is that too much? Does that get too confusing? Because in order to, because I'll quote our pastor, and he's, I think, right as rain on this, and you just said it too. He tells us all the time. He can tell where the heart is of a church, and he puts it more towards evangelism. His actual words are something along the lines of, I can tell the heart of a church is, or how they feel about outreach, by looking at the evangelism budget.
Right.
But that, so it's the same thing. But maybe for churches like ours, should we consider taking the curriculum for Sunday school, putting it into the evangelism budget, raising the evangelism budget, but adopting the mindset that because Sunday school is evangelism, there shouldn't be a distinction. I think we separate them too much.
Yeah, well,
it's
not either or, it's both and. You know, and many times when we think of Sunday school, you have small groups. They're small groups. Call them Sunday school, call them Bible fellowship. Sometimes we get twisted on the words. It's a small group,
mm-hmm.
and it should be a multiplying groups starting new groups. But a class might have a small little budget, you know, and so you've got all these little classes, and the Sunday school budget helps promote that. But then when you think of the evangelism budget, it's a church-wide tool that helps you with revivals, helps you with crusades, bigger things out in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could combine them, but if you're used to doing it separately, that's fine. I'd leave it like that. Just use them. Make sure it's used for evangelistic purposes.
I just wonder if, and I get what you're saying, I just wonder if there's not a distinction there in the minds of people that allows us to separate mm-hmm. the two. And by separating the two, now you have to have one above the other. And so is a revival bigger than, or an annual whatever like that, bigger than Sunday school? For example, when we separate that with small groups, and I'm not arguing, I'm just thinking, when we separate small group from Sunday school from fellowship group, all of a sudden we've split up what all should be small groups,
mm-hmm.
like you've said.
Right.
But once we split those up, now it's almost like, again, we have to order what are we going to put our focus on. You know, Andy Stanley says in his book, 7 practices to effective ministry, or for effective ministry, that we need to narrow our focus, and should we narrow our focus in evangelism by stop having all these subcategories of evangelism and just say, let's evangelize?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, just make sure you have a plan. What's your plan?
Right.
What plan has God given you? Take it and run with it, you know.
Well, what about, okay, so what about, moving on, another question for you about this. Say we start really, we really start beefing up Sunday school. God really starts blessing it, and all of a sudden, because we're there now. Tabernacle's there now. We really don't have any more room. In fact, I teach my Sunday school in the sanctuary because we don't have any more classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's going to eventually happen for a healthy kingdom church. So in that, you're one of those guys that can answer that question, right? Because don't you have some kind of credentials that allow you to come in and talk to us about expansion?
Yeah, I can come and do a church facility space study for any of our churches. And if you do it through me, it won't cost you any money. If you do it through some other organizations, they'll charge you at least $350, but I'll do it for any of our DBA churches. But which reminds us that we need to put an emphasis making sure that we use whatever means that we have to remodel or build new education space, or provide space, should I say, to meet the needs of members and guests. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, Chester, that you got to go build a new building.
Okay,
if the Lord
right.
blesses you and encourages you to do that, by all means, go do it. But
you're going to tell me we can meet in someone's home, aren't you?
I am.
You're going to tell me we can meet at a restaurant, aren't you?
Like McDonald's.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm starting to pick up on this. I'm starting to see where you're going with this.
Yeah. Another idea, find a friend who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior and ask if you can start having a Bible study in their home.
That's good.
Oh, Lord, wouldn't that be great? You know, Chester, it's interesting you brought this up, is that when folks moved from the East, when we went to win the West, you know, back in the 1700s.
Win in quotations,
And those pastors in the East said, now, when you go in West, start in small groups and start new churches and be the pastor. And then he told them to put classes in churches wherever you could find space.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes they met under trees. They met in a schoolhouse. They met in a saloon. I know. Could you imagine starting a new Bible study in Kerrigan's?
Yeah, I
love it.
I got to go. No, but you know, that's such, I joke, but that's Jesus.
Mm.
That's Jesus in us, working through us by going out there where we were. I'm going to preach, but we get into these little huddles where I'm a Christian now, so I get to stay inside my little huddle of safe Christians. Thank God somebody came and met me down in the pit and showed me Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's where, not saying Kerrigan's the pit, but you're going to find people who need Jesus right there at Kerrigan's. I know, I'm not saying we're about to plant a church, but really, why not? You know, there are people who, if I walk into Kerrigan's, I'm probably going to feel a little out of place, but there are people that, and I'm not saying I shouldn't, okay, don't misunderstand me, but the mission field of Jerusalem is Kerrigan's. It's the backyard of people who are hurting and suffering.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you, as a former drinker who drank all the time, I went there. I did. I went to Kerrigan's. I remember when they got the poles, and I remember when they took them down. Yeah, your poles, yes, Robbie, for dancing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
And I'm telling you right now, I went to fill a void where Jesus needed to be. I went because I hurt. I suffered. I was sad. Thank God somebody told me there was something better than Jack, you know, or Jim. Jack Daniels, Jim Beam.
Oh, I got you.
Robbie's not a drinker.
Yeah, no.
Praise the Lord. And that's what this is all about. And if we start how about starting a church, and I think we're doing this, you said it earlier, in a prison.
Yeah.
Where people...
It's the coolest thing.
People want to know Jesus. I think sometimes the people in prisons and the bars are hungrier than the people in the pews.
Yeah.
And you can quote me on that.
I got you. So start them wherever the Lord will allow you to start them. Churches, Sunday school classes. But you can find space saying that our church can't grow in Sunday school because we're out of space.
Mm.
There's too many other options. I think I've mentioned this before, Chester. You can have it in the church bus. You can have it in the van.
Yeah.
You can use my office. You can use businesses in the community.
I'm convicted because I just said that. You know, I just used that as an example, and you're right, though. Absolutely.
So cool. Number next.
I don't like it when you say that.
Number nine.
Thank you.
Does that help you?
Yeah.
Schedule an annual commissioning service for teachers around back-to-school Sunday. Make Sunday school leadership a great privilege and a big deal.
I think we minimize the importance of it, don't we?
We do.
It's like, oh, you want to be a member? Okay, now you're on the list. And there's no excitement about it.
Yeah.
There's no big deal made about it.
I was in one of our local churches. Actually, it was Calvary on Aimwell. And when someone got saved and they got baptized, the congregation stood up and applauded.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's pretty cool stuff.
That's cool. That
and
is.
So why don't we get excited about our Sunday school teachers,
right?
And about people joining Sunday school. See, it's a big deal. And if we make it a big deal from the pulpit and we celebrate when someone joins a Sunday school class, when we celebrate when somebody creates a new unit,
mm-hmm.
a new Sunday school class or a new Bible study group, when we start celebrating those things, our people will realize this is a big deal.
Okay, so look at this, because I know, because I've heard it before, and I've heard it from staff before, okay? And I already know the answer to this, but I just want to make this clear. I've heard it from people. If we make a big deal out of what people are doing, then we're taking the glory from God. And what we need to realize is we're not making a big deal about what people are doing. We're making a big deal about what God is doing through people. And I think that's important because we had a children's ministry awards thing at the end of in July, I guess it was, or June, at the end of the last year, and we recognized teachers and students in the children's ministry departments that had excelled, that God had blessed, that they had been He had really worked through them, and somebody mentioned to me, they said, in fact I wrote in my blog about it months later, somebody mentioned to me, they said, that's not about God, that's not about us. It should not be about us. It should be about God. And I wrote in the blog, but it is about God if we give God the glory.
That's right.
It's not about what Chester did or Karen did. She was recognized. Karen Moore is as our Sunday school teacher of the year. You know, it's what God did through Karen and the ministry He placed on her, and God gets the glory. I just want to make that clear because I think listeners listen and they think, well, we don't need to be making a big deal about that because it takes away from God. Well, yeah, it does if you do it wrong, right?
Right.
I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, you know, isn't it our job as leaders to encourage our people? We're to encourage them. We're to equip them. And so we give God the glory for what the result is, but we thank people for being obedient. Well, we could say, well, that's expected. Yeah, but tell me in how many churches that we're seeing obedience.
Yeah. And can I say, because I'm not the DOM, can I say shut up if somebody says that?
No, you can't say shut up.
That's what I want to say. And I don't want to offend our listeners. I think each week I lose a little bit of support. But, but you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I think that I'll say this. Our connection cards, Brother Robbie, I keep a stack of them on my shelf. And it's probably an inch thick since I've been at Tabernacle. And that stack is made up of all of the encouraging remarks that have been left for me.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna cry just talking about it because that's how much it means to me. Because I'm a words of, if you ever read Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, I'm a words of affirmation guy. Don't buy me a gift. Don't give me a raise, although I like money, but don't give me a raise. You want to tell me, you want me to know you appreciate what I'm doing? You tell me. Your words go a million times farther than any of the other types of languages, not just in love, but in recognition. And when people have said, thank you for what God is doing, or I thank God for you, you know, they quote Paul and say many times, I thank God for you daily. When that comes to me and I'm having a bad day, I go to my stack and I just flip through them. And I remember that there's something good going on and God is the one doing it.
Yeah.
You know, that encouragement is so. And I'll tell you, the 30 or 40 of those cards that I have kept, those people will never know till they enter into the kingdom just how God has used that to keep me going, because any pastor tells you he doesn't have bad days is either lying or he just got ordained.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he hadn't been in ministry very long yet, but it's coming.
So
but encourage one another.
Well,
it's so important.
In encouraging, Adam, I'm sorry to cut you off. In encouraging, then, can't we, as pastors, reach out through letters or recognition in such a way during the week to our leaders that are teaching?
I encourage our pastors to send 3 or 4 thank you notes every week to Sunday school teachers or Sunday school leaders. Affirm their good work. remember, praise is like oxygen to the soul. Mm, mm. And thanking people for their service, thanking them for their ministry. You know, I love our military. I thank God for our military and our country. And I hear a lot of us say, you know, we praise our military and we say, thank you for your service. But when's the last time you've heard a Sunday school teacher be told, thank you for your service? Should it be different? I don't think so. I think we need to encourage one another, especially in areas of spiritual leadership.
Yeah.
Because they didn't just show up Sunday morning with their teaching lesson already.
Right.
Hopefully they didn't. If they're a good teacher, they've been working on it all week.
Right, right.
You know, and so encourage your teachers and pastors. You've got to lead the way.
Plus, those teachers have a target on their back, and the enemy is coming. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
not every day is going to be a good day.
No,
that's right.
It's not. It's not. It's huge.
So, but those are 10 ways that our pastors and staff can encourage our Sunday school workers to grow in the Lord, and that ministry will grow. And I leave you with this thought, to be very creative. Whatever you do, find creative ways to grow your Sunday school. I leave with this story. A teacher assigned students to color a flower garden. And as she walked among the rows examining the students' work, she stopped by one of the students' desk, and she looked at his drawing and it was quite unusual. And she said, called him by name and said, well, that's not right. Flowers don't have faces on them. You've made a mistake. And she said that to Walt Disney.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that a cool story? We need to.
And he said, shut up.
Yeah, I'm telling you. He didn't.
In his
but
own
later
way.
On, I'm sure he said, hello.
Yeah, really.
Flowers do have faces.
They sing,
you know,
too.
Yes, and dance. Find creative ways to grow your Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
We have got a God who is the most creative person in the universe. He created you, Chester.
Yeah,
he
got
created
a sense of
me,
humor.
You know? And he created the woman who actually loves you.
That's
your
right.
wife. Isn't that cool?
That's called grace.
Yeah, grace. That's wonderful.
That's right.
So be creative, Pastor. Be creative, churches, and give God the glory. God's going to do a wonderful work through you, teachers. God's going to do a wonderful work through you, pastors. Just seek him in all that you do. Next time, we're going to talk about essential number 2, which is make sure we have clear expectations in our Sunday school.
Now, let's make sure that we realize that not next time, because next time we're going to have our interview with Dr. Searcy.
That's right.
From Bruton Parker. So that's our update on what's going on under the arch, you know,
yes.
at Bruton Parker. And then in our December podcast, November podcast, we will be back with our second What is 7 Essentials. And you will get some of that as we go. We will have different interviews and things. And if I can, I know we're running just on 40 minutes, but which no matter how much we try to shorten this thing.
It keeps getting longer, doesn't it?
It does. But I want to tell them about DB. It hadn't happened yet, but I want to tell them about DBA On Demand. Can I do that? Or is that,
yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
He gave me the short sign. He said, do it short. We'll tell you what, we'll cut Sister Mildred out and do this because she usually gets people fired. The DBA On Demand, coming up soon. Our webmaster, Jason Corbett, is working on how to set this up. Coming up soon, it's our vision that DBA On Demand will be a website part or a page of dbachurches.com. On it, we'll have the podcast. That's where they'll get moved to, off the front page and onto that page, so you can get them whenever you want. Also, we're going to have, if you've ever listened to the radio stations that are out of Vidalia, they do an hourly news break. We're going to take a good idea and make it our own here. And we're going to update you through different news breaks from the association. And just from time to time, maybe once a week or so, have a two-minute news break. We're not going to call it news break, but have a two-minute news break up there talking about all these things. So you can be kept up to date on what's going on through the association in a news format. And then the third thing we're going to do is have a special section for our interviews with different folks, such as Dr. Searcy. Mm-hmm. And as we have different folks come to town, perhaps, you know, even with Larry Wynn or, you know, one of the other folks that are speaking at the Night of Discipleship, we'll have different things like that on there. So it's DBA On Demand. You can get it anytime you want. You can tell your friends about it. And it's coming soon to a dbachurches.com URL near you.
That's good.
So,
yeah, that's right.
All right, so that's a DBA On Demand. Pray for us because it's coming up soon.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our teachers. Thank you for our Sunday school classes. And thank you for our pastors and leadership, Father. I just pray that you'll strengthen them, help them to encourage one another. Father, help them to think outside the box, be creative, to seek your heart, to seek what you would have them do. For Father, it really is important what we do through our small groups, our Sunday school, reaching people for Jesus, bringing them to hear your word, and creating community as we hear God's word can minister to one another and can change lives. Father, we give you the praise and glory, and help us not to give excuses for why we're not doing this or that. Help us just to be obedient to your word and to be faithful, and we will give you praise and we will give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sister Mildred, I got one for you, Brother Robbie, before we get out of here. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right. Whenever I visit, this is Sister Mildred's tweet from about a day ago. Whenever I visit other churches and hear their musicians, I realize how blessed our church is to have me playing the piano. Do you know some
Sister
churches?
Sister Mildred.
Do you know some Mildreds like that? You've been listening to Leadership on Purpose, a production of the Daniel Baptist Association, recorded in the studios of Vidalia Communications Corporation, Vidalia, Georgia. For further information on topics contained in this program, contact the Daniel Baptist Association at 912-583-2713 or email Brother Robbie at rsmithdba@windstream.net.